Saddle up, everybody. Hello, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the program. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass. And we do welcome you to Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. It's Friday, April 16th, 2021. We are on 1030, Tucson's trusted source for news talk. The radio station is KVOI. We are in our 11th year right here on the radio with worldwide live listening and podcasts, all available at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you, Dylan Smith, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. Thank you to our friends down there, Dan Shear, especially the Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, the Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. The Friday Focus interview is with Tim Tomier, interim assistant city manager, where he is now overseeing six City of Tucson departments, including Tucson Water, where he was that utility's longtime director. Also with us on the live line, Dylan Smith, editor, publisher, and founder of the now 10-year-old, actually 11-year-old, online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan is vice president of the Arizona Press Club. He's the immediate past chair of Lion Publishers. Lion is an acronym for Local Independent Online News Publishers. Dylan, how are you?
Doing all right.
Good. Had both your shots yet or still waiting?
I've had one of them, waiting on the next, and then two more weeks. But I still intend on continuing to practice what I preach. I think it's important that we all keep acting responsibly until a great many more people are vaccinated so that we can make sure that everybody stays safe.
Oh, yes. Continue to stay safe. Tim, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Tim, lots of us are concerned about the drought. Some saying we're really approaching the 20th year of a drought in the Southwest. It's bone dry. I was looking at those precipitation figures. Basically 1 inch, we're about a third short of where we should be this time. It seems like we're just continuing over from a very tough year last year. How are we doing in our water supply picture? Kind of give us the overview, if you would.
Be happy to do that. I'll begin with that Tucson's been preparing for this type of dry climate, this type of dry year, for many decades. So Tucson itself is in relatively good position. It's important to note that our main water supply comes from the Colorado River. And indeed, that's in a multi-decade drought. And for next year, we may actually be in the first stage of what we would call shortage. So things are getting drier. Climate change is definitely measurable and having a measurable impact on our basin and our water supply. What's important to know, though, is that Tucson, through a variety of strategies, has put itself into a very good position to be able to withstand long-term drought and even to manage being a sustainable community, even when we'll start to see reductions in Colorado River water.
And when might those reductions in the Colorado River water begin? Could they begin this year?
Actual shortages or reductions could begin as early as January of 22. So we can actually see it from here. There's no finality to that until we get later in the year. But what would be called a tier one shortage is more likely to occur for 22 than not. But the drought contingency plan that was enacted by Arizona and other states in 2019 really spelled out what those reductions in deliveries from the Colorado River would look like. And for a tier one shortage, which is what could very well happen in 2022. Tucson actually does not have any reductions in our supply because of our priority.
Dylan Smith, join our conversation, please.
Indeed. There was just a Bureau of Reclamation report about Colorado River water that came out in the last couple of days, really taking a long-term view at what might happen with these. And it's not directly related to anything at the city of Tucson, but if the water levels continue to fall in Lake Powell and Lake Mead, we may actually see some pretty severe impacts to our electrical grid, because the both of those dams produce a lot of power. And if it drops just a little bit further, they won't be anymore. But in this report, it forecasts that the beyond next year, where we might have a tier one shortage, coming up in 2023, Lake Mead might even drop to the tier two shortage level. And at that point, will Tucson have actual cuts to our water supply?
It's a great question, and the April study, there's two really important times of the year that the Bureau of Reclamation issues their study reports. One is April, so that's the one we just received, and then again in August, and August is the one that really tells us what will be the official occurrences in 2022. Having said that, you are correct that the chances of a Tier 2 shortage are increasing over time, and moving even closer in time. And a tier two shortage, also because of the drought contingency plan, would not measurably impact the amount of water that Tucson receives. It would really be when we get to a what we call a tier three shortage, which is an elevation in Lake Mead, which is 50 feet lower than what it could be right now, or what it would be this coming January. At that point, we would begin to see a reduction in deliveries to Tucson. But the volume of that reduction actually all comes out of water that we store for the future. So Tucson has a very large allocation of Colorado River water, and it's about 50% larger than our annual demand. So when we get to a tier three shortage, we would still have enough water coming from the Colorado River to meet our annual use, and we would still likely still have some water left over to store for the future. So even under Tier 3, Tucson's water supply is secure.
Dylan, did you have a follow-up, or can I switch topics here?
Certainly Tim right now has his hand in a whole lot of things. I can't keep track of how many titles he's had over the last couple of years, so you could probably move on to another one.
Yeah, well, it still has to do with water, and it's this very controversial. The Pima County Board of Supervisors voted 3-2 to oppose the what's called differential water rates while recommending that Tucson provide regional water service to all Pima County residents. There is this proposal that the city of Tucson would charge non-residents of unincorporated areas more for their water, in effect ending a 40-year, even more than 40-year agreement between the city and county on water rates. What can you tell us about this, Tim?
Very complicated issue, as you would expect.
Yes.
And so I'll break it down to some facts. One is that it does not end any agreement on water rates. What it does is actually adjust water rates in the unincorporated area to something they likely could or should have been all along. And the reason that is it doesn't change where Tucson Water would serve in the unincorporated area. It doesn't change the level of service that those customers would provide. What it does is look at the equity of what a Tucson Water customer pays for water service from somebody who lives inside the city versus somebody who lives outside the city. And there's an inequity that's been existing for a long period. One is that the city of Tucson's general fund is the ultimate financial backstop to the Tucson Water operations. So while Tucson Water charges rates and fees based on cost of service, if there's a financial difficulty with the utility, it's only the city customer that bears that risk. And in when everything's going well, or everything's going in kind of what you would call normal times, if we have such a thing, then there's no real significant impact to the city's general fund. But when you look at things like the times of the pandemic or the financial crisis of 2009 through actually in 2013, the finances of the utility can drop. We can have large delinquency rates when we're not locking, when we have a moratorium of going on a year of without locking. And that risk is borne by the general fund. So one reason to consider differential rates is that inequity. There's also some information. I don't want to call it misinformation because I'm not looking for a fight, but there's information being circulated about, you know, that the Pima County had agreed to be the regional wastewater provider while Tucson Water had agreed to be the regional water provider. And there's just many instances where that's really never been the case, or at least since the late 70s. And so there's discussions about where the water supplies come from, what are the obligations. And there's, just to put this, the record straight, while Pima County has the obligation to do the wastewater service throughout their jurisdiction, which is the entire county, which includes the city does not have a reciprocal obligation to serve outside of its jurisdiction. So there it's not comparing apples to apples. But it is complicated. There's many layers to it and a lot of history. But in short, it's not breaking any agreement, and it is addressing a long-term inequity between a city customer and a non-city customer.
The bottom line is, and I'm a resident of the District 1 in Pima County, the unincorporated area. I was talking with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott about this yesterday and the day before. We had Paul Cunningham on, and Paul was saying that the residents of the unincorporated areas would not be, in effect, hammered with a huge increase in bill. In their bill, he was talking more about 5%. Do we have any kind of handle on what we're talking about? How much money should I budget extra for this, or percent?
That's a great question. So what I'll put is a kind of a range on it, because mayor and council has not acted yet, which is also what makes it kind of odd about the vote that the Board of Supervisors took about an action another elected body had yet to take. But having said that, the direction we're receiving from our discussions with mayor and council is to put forth a proposal that would phase in any kind of differential rate increase. So when Councilmember Cunningham references a 5%, that's a good working number for what the first year of a phased in approach would look like. And it might be, and of course this is speculative, but let's say it was 5% the first year and 10% in year two. Jurisdictions can charge up to 50%, like the city of Phoenix does, but that's not really a lot of, you know, momentum within the discussions we've had.
I hope not.
That aggressive. But something in the 5% in year one, 10% in year two is, I think, a reasonable potential outcome. And then I'll add to that that it gets even more complex, because what they would like to see is it also being used to promote conservation and reduce water use. So it might be that for all of the base charge and for the first tier of water use, maybe it'd be 5%, but then for tier two, 10%, for tier three, 15%. So that not only does it provide that further conservation incentive, but it allows if a customer in the unincorporated area wanted to reduce their water use in order to reduce their bill, they'd have further incentive to do so.
All right, Tim Tamier, hang on. Dylan, I know you want to follow up on this. We've still got more to talk about with the water situation. Tim is the interim assistant city manager, where he oversees six city departments, including Tucson Water. Tim was there he's been there. Tim, how many years now were you at Tucson Water as the director?
5 years.
5 years, okay. So you're not technically the director anymore. You're just, what is your title with the director?
That's correct. My title is interim assistant city manager, and it really just means I do whatever we need to do to keep the city running.
Okay. All right. We'll pause right here. Mona's Danish Bakery is a great place to take a pause. They're open right now for lunch. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Of course, they are home of the Danish Kringle, the delicate, flaky, light, and tasty multi-layered pastry. Think I could use a Kringle right about now. Stop by Mona's, find out what all the excitement is about this weekend. Should be a great weekend to sit out on the patio. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be right back in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line guests presented courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Friday Focus interview, we have a ton of things to talk about with Tim Tomier, the interim assistant city manager for the city of Tucson. He oversees six city departments, including Tucson Water. Dylan Smith is also with us, editor, publisher of the TucsonSentinel.com. And before we took the break, we were talking about Tucson's mayor and council voting on a notice of their intent to raise unincorporated residents' water rates without yet deciding what the increase will be or what the excess revenues would be used for. Dylan, you're up to the plate.
Sure. Well, to really quickly cap off, no pun intended, that part of the discussion, what is the, you know, when we talk about percentages, let's talk about actual dollars and cents. You know, for the average homeowner who uses an average amount of water, how much more money are we talking about if you, you know, live in an unincorporated county, part of the county? How much more will your water bill go up if, say, a 10% increase was enacted?
If a 10% increase were enacted, it would roughly equate to $3 to $4 per month on the water bill.
All right. I do have one more sort of water-oriented question. And we talked a little bit a year ago now, I guess, about how the pandemic and people, you know, the change in people's work and life cycles was impacting that. After a year, how is that factored into the revenues for Tucson Water? Does people staying home instead of going into work change the amount of money that's coming in based off water bills?
That's a great question. And we have measured higher water use overall than what we were seeing before the pandemic really took hold, which in turn would relate to higher revenue off of that, you know, higher water use. But there's probably, you know, two main factors. One factor being the pandemic itself and how people are living their lives and doing their work. And the other is the extremely hot 2020 that we had and the low rainfall. So both of those factors have resulted in higher than anticipated water use. Though that revenue, though, has been offset from the fact that outside of this differential rates discussion, which is still ongoing, Tucson Water canceled a general water rate increase for last year that right before the pandemic, mayor and council had issued their notice of intent. If I recall correctly, it was about a 5.5% rate increase that would have gone into effect last July. And then for this coming July, there would have been another about 4.5% rate increase. So those two rate increases have actually been canceled and luckily have been offset by that higher water use. And then there's another factor there just to add, because we weren't doing any shutoffs, we typically carry about $3 million of delinquency or unpaid bills. That climbed to over $9 million. And because of some assistance programs and federal money that became available to really help with utility bills, that number is back down to $4 million. So we're a year after the start of the pandemic, and we're not that far from where we what we looked like at that time.
Let me ask you about this decision in Las Vegas to become the first city to ban ornamental grass. Did you hear about that, Tim?
I did. Go ahead.
Sorry. No, I'm just wondering, what is this a signal for perhaps cities like Tucson to follow suit? Just some of your thoughts, please.
So it's certainly an interesting action, and I think a really, really great action on their part. And in Tucson, it hasn't gotten to the point where ornamental grass had to be banned, because Tucsonans really got the message early on about what living in a desert looks like and really converted their landscapes more voluntarily than having to be required to do so. We don't have a lot of ornamental turf in Tucson. So would Tucson need to take an action like that? You never say never, and whether or not, you know, that could be something to consider in the future. But Tucson's already done the right things, and the Tucsonans have already made it a very water efficient city. So we don't yet need to force people to do the right thing in Tucson.
Before we transition to a search for a police chief, while we're still talking about water, what about the Santa Cruz and aquatic habitats? Flourishing or still hanging on, or where are we with all of that?
The Santa Cruz River, especially through downtown, is really doing well. We, as you're aware, we had started flowing reclaimed water into the Santa Cruz River and really established a wetland and a flowing river in a place that hadn't had it for 70 years. And actually last fall, despite the pandemic, we were able to release the endangered species Gila top minnow into that stretch of the river. And it's doing quite well. And that's an example of when the city and the county partner together, we can do great things. And it's really had an impact on the community. People have embraced it, and people have adopted that stretch of the river to do cleanups. So I think it's a really good story for Tucson.
Dylan, anything more on water? I had another quick water question. Do you have anything more?
Not specifically on water, but you've been, well, at least for a stretch of time, pretty involved in what's been going on with Reed Park. And one, did you expect the issue of Barnum Hill and the duck ponds to become quite so controversial? And what is the status of that sort of review process that's going on?
Yes, I'm involved in all the interesting conversations right now. So, yes, the Reed Park and the Reed Park Zoo conversation is something I'm helping the city navigate. So I first became aware of it being, a controversy that turned into a real situation that we needed to address late last fall when neighbors and members of neighbors of the park became more aware of what was planned for the expansion of the zoo and the fact that it was to go into the Barnum Hill and South Pond area. And so had meetings out in the park, even though we were in the pandemic, we had our masks on and socially distanced so we could walk the site and really just hear people's concerns. So that's when I first became aware of the issue. And so ultimately, mayor and council, in listening to their constituents, called a timeout on the zoo expansion for a 45-day conversation to really get to the heart of what Tucsonans feel about what are the options, what are the different ways we can move forward from here, knowing that we have a history that's bound by votes of the public, contracts that have been signed, and prior actions of mayor and council. So where we are now, we are in the home stretch of the community conversation. A core stakeholder group was formed, and actually they're about maybe halfway through their process, and we had a meeting this morning. There's another one this afternoon, and then all day tomorrow they'll be discussing this. And we did a community-wide survey that had over 14,000 responses about 8 different concepts. And so we've got a lot of information being compiled. I'm optimistic that there is a win-win out there. That's a win for the Reed Park Zoo. That's a win for the park itself, and that's a win for the neighbors who value both the park and zoo. And so on May 4th, at the study session of mayor and council, we'll be bringing back the results of the dialogue and seeking guidance from the mayor and council.
Going back to the water situation, I did have one final question concerning this differential rate proposal. And I'm wondering, water wars might, I know that some don't want to think about that, but there could be retaliation from Pima County concerning wastewater. Any thoughts on that, Tim?
It is my belief that the city and the county will be seeking solutions and policies that are to the benefit of all of our citizens. And it would be unfortunate if it degraded into more of a place of conflict, because we've seen that in the past and we know what that looks like. And it's not healthy, nor is it good for the community. And so my belief is both the mayor and council and the board of supervisors would want to work, continue the collaboration and continue to work together and not go back to the days of fighting.
What about the effort to find a new police chief? I know this gets a little tricky because so far, Christopher Magnus, the TPD chief, is just a nominee. He hasn't even really gone before Congress and a hearing or anything. But what happens now as far as a search for a new police chief? Are you thinking about some internal candidates, or what's on your mind in that regard?
So the manager has brought on a new resource recently, not because of the chief's consideration for that, but just for public safety in general. So we now have a new deputy city manager, Liana Perez, who is actually working with Mike and with the fire chief and the police chief and the 911 to really make sure that Tucson's public safety is solid, is done well. So if and when Chief Magnus were to be, selected and actually affirmed for that position, my expectation is we would take a swift action to make sure that we had somebody internal that would serve in an interim capacity. I know all about being interim on a variety of things, but I would expect it to result in a pretty broad search because it's such a critical position. It's very, very challenging. And I would say, first of all, I'm very excited and confident in Chief Magnus, and I think he will be successful because I think he's a tremendous, tremendous asset and a tremendous candidate for that federal role, which means I'm fully expecting we'd be looking for our next police chief. And if I've learned anything in my time with Mr. Ortega, the city manager, is he does not like to rush into anything, and he does not like to settle. So he will be very, very methodical and thorough in searching for the next chief of police.
And for those that haven't been following the news, the position, and I should have mentioned that at the very beginning, the position that the chief is being considered for is basically to head up Customs and the Border Patrol. Dylan, did you have anything on that front?
I think I've run out of questions, actually.
Have you really? Okay.
Which maybe is a good thing for Tim.
Okay, maybe so. Well, I've always got an extra question before we wrap it up. Tim, financially, how's the city doing?
Very fair question. And the city is doing well financially, especially considering a year ago when we were going into the pandemic and we didn't know what the future looked like, there were a lot of potential doomsday scenarios on tax revenues and et cetera. The team's done a great job of navigating that. And so the city's is in good financial condition, and we never have money to burn, but what we have is enough money to do the things that Tucson needs us to do. And we have some very thoughtful conversations going on with mayor and council about next year's budget, about where do we shore up areas where we do need to make improvement. And that includes things like public safety. That includes things like employee wages and where we are relative to market. So we're doing way better than we imagined a year ago. And so that means Tucson's in good hands.
All right, Tim Tomura, thank you very much. Tim, interim assistant city manager, my best to you and your family, and that includes one of my favorite cats in town, and that is Jack the Black Cat. I know Jack was very happy when you were working so much from home. Now that you're back working a lot at City Hall, how is that going for Jack?
We have a daily conversation about where's Daddy going to be and what does that mean for Jack. And usually the conversation goes well, but I do get some dirty looks.
Yeah, I bet. All right, Tim, have a great weekend. Stay safe. We'll talk to you hopefully in studio next time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
All right. And Dylan Smith, I've got some things to talk with Dylan about as Buckmaster continues rolls on this Friday afternoon in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, Friday afternoon here in Tucson, Arizona, in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line guests appear courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our thanks to Tim Tomier, the Assistant City Manager. He's kind of the go-to guy, Dylan Smith of Tucson Sentinel, with me on the live line. Tim's kind of your go-to guy at the city of Tucson right now, wearing a bunch of hats.
He keeps getting moved around to be the stopgap when city manager Mike Ortega needs a hand, whether it was, for a good stretch. In addition to water, he was overseeing Parks and Rec. Now he's got, a pretty big chunk of city departments under his purview.
Always a surprise in the news, reading Howard Fisher today in the Arizona Daily Star about Tucson could get a new casino. I had heard about maybe this idea had been floated years ago. This would be a Pascua Yaqui tribe run casino, and this apparently is part of a new gambling agreement or pact that is being worked out. I don't know if it's formalized yet between the governor and the Arizona Native Nations. So I have no idea if what the demand would be, Dylan Smith, for a new casino right about now.
At the state level, that's a done deal, but it's not a done deal as far as there being a casino, which would be located at Grant and I-10. The state and the tribes have a new gaming compact, which is the arrangement that allows for various forms of gambling to take place. But the site that would be a new casino right there at Grant and I-10, basically the closed movie theater that's been there for years and years, is next to but not part of the Yaqui Reservation, which is there's actually a portion of the Pascua Yaqui Reservation is right next door. A fairly decent chunk of that neighborhood at Grant and I-10 is actually, even though it's inside the city limits of Tucson, it's part of the reservation. And so it would require an act of Congress to add that area as part of the trust land and make it under control of the tribe in order for them to turn that into a casino. So it's something that's going to take, a few more steps. Seems likely, but it's not something that's going to, open next week.
Another surprise in the news today. I thought things were pretty rosy over at TUSD with the infusion of federal money. And then I see now that 60 teachers are going to be cut from TUSD. And I know the pandemic has had a lot to do with teacher cuts across the state. Gilbert Public Schools recently laid off 152 employees for the next school year. So I was surprised to hear this news.
Well, the number of teachers you need on staff is pretty directly, correlated with the number of students that you have attending. And TUSD has seen, enrollment not growing in a way that you might expect. And there are, over the past year, there's definitely been an impact from the pandemic with, more kids staying home. It's possible that even going into next year, there will be some kids who are, where parents don't want their kids going to, an in-person class. So there have been other kids who, moved out of the city, moved out of the district. And, so they're forecasting enrollment that is not going to be as large as it was, a couple of years ago. There was sort of a plateau in the long-term, decline in enrollment. Things leveled off and actually ticked up for some grades over a couple of years. But right now things are starting to go back down again for TUSD, which means they don't need as many teachers filling classrooms. It's still a challenge for them to not have overcrowded classrooms with the sort of budget constraints that they have. So it's a balancing act.
Yeah, they have seen a 7.4% enrollment decline from last year. That's about 3,350 students. So yeah, I guess it makes sense. Fewer students don't need as many teachers. Before we wrap it up with you, the big news out of the Arizona Supreme Court, it was a 5-1 decision, basically saying municipalities like the city of Tucson can set their own dates for elections. So we'll see if this is, I guess this is the end of the story, right? On that one, at least.
It's definitely the end of the issue of whether the city of Tucson will have an election this year for those three city council seats. That will move ahead, most definitely. And the language of the ruling by the Arizona Supreme Court was pretty definitive about the ability of charter cities to run their elections in the way that they decide to, as long as they don't infringe on people's rights. That's always a concern, of course. But outside of that, if Tucson wants to have elections in odd numbered years, as we've done for decades and decades now, the Supreme Court said, yes, you can do that. Over the past decade, the legislature has really tried to come down into Tucson city elections and force some changes. And each time that's gone to the courts and each time it's been shot down. And there were some reactions from city officials, especially Mayor Regina Romero and City Attorney Mike Rankin, that, maybe this will be the last time, given the pretty strong language in the decision that said, nah, the city can do what they want.
We'll see. All right, Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, for folks that want to keep up on what's going on. Anything you would like to direct people to about what you guys are doing at TucsonSentinel.com real quickly, please?
Well, we're digging into some of the rhetoric that's been going on from both sides about, the border and immigration issues, of course. And, are we really in a quote-unquote crisis right now? What's going on with the numbers of people who are coming across, et cetera. So look for much more on that in the coming days.
All right, Dylan Smith, thank you very much. Stay safe. And I know you're looking forward to your getting your second inoculation, your COVID shot. So stay safe out there. Thanks. All right, Buckmaster. Thank you, Dylan. Buckmaster in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is next.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Time for Weekend Watch, that music, that bump music, stir it up, and we're ready to stir it up, aren't we, to get right into the weekend. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start planning to visit Silver City. It's only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson, and we always like this time of year as things warm up in Tucson to talk about how nice and cool they are over in Silver City, where it's nice 65 degrees midday. At about that 5,500-foot elevation. I think that's right at mile high. Can't beat that. Perfect time of year to do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. New Mexico, open again to out-of-state visitors. Begin your planning right now. SouthwestNewMexico.org, the great starting place for your trip over to Silver City. Let's bring in now award-winning Tucson publicist and Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how's your week going?
Oh, week is going great. I wish I could say that I'm stirring it up as we speak, but I think I'll wait another couple of hours before shaking and stirring my way into the weekend.
Well, you have been known to start that weekend watch and kind of shaking it up right after the Buckmaster show. As you go poolside and escape the office, sometimes a little bit early on Friday afternoon, but that's a different story. The online cooking classes, this has really taken off, the virtual cooking classes.
Yeah, it really sure has, Bill. And, you know, even though we're all starting to come out of our COVID cocoons, the online cooking class community is really still keeping a full calendar. And tomorrow at 11 a.m., you'll have the opportunity to learn the secrets behind some memorable Latin American dishes at what they're calling the Latin Twist Hands-on cooking class hosted by the Garden Kitchen. The menu includes a refreshing gazpacho to start, crispy sweet potato pancakes with the chipotle crema, and cauliflower ceviche. So registration is only $40. All the proceeds go towards future programming that really empowers people to make healthier choices about food and fitness. Go to www.thegardenkitchen.org for more information, a shopping list of ingredients, and registration.
The Southeast Arizona wine scene has really attracted not only national but international attention. Sonoyta has become a wine hub.
There is no doubt about it, and we are so fortunate to live so close. So this is another option for tomorrow for my fellow Onophiles. They're calling it the Route 82 Block Party, where a five-mile stretch of Sonoyta will be yours to explore as you take in some of the sights and sips of this beautiful Arizona wine region. Several Arizona wineries will be offering specials from 11 to 4, including Arizona Hops and Vines and Dos Cabezas, Hannah's Hill, so many more. And nearly all of the wineries that are part of the Block Party will have their own live bands and food options. The weather will be perfect for the affair. So hop in the car tomorrow, head down to Sonoyta for 5 miles. That's a heck of a block. 5 miles of Arizona wine.
That should be a delight. And then when you come back to Tucson, get ready to attend a truck rally.
Absolutely. You're going to be stay closer to home if you want to do it. Head over to the East Side Farmers Market at 22nd and Pantano for a full convoy of food trucks that will convene for a food truck rally from 11 to 3. The fleet will be serving up chicken and waffle cones, Sicilian specialties, barbecue, cheesecakes, and more. An on-site farmers market, of course, will feature rows of local vendors, handmade crafts, jewelry, arts, everything you want. Rally those pallets and follow those trucks to 22nd and Pantano tomorrow for the Eastside Marketplace Food Truck Rally.
Some great suggestions for the weekend. Matt Russell, always a pleasure. Have a great weekend. Stay safe.
Yeah, right back at you, Bill. Thanks.
Matt Russell, the award-winning Tucson publicist at Russell Public Communications and our longtime host of Weekend Watch and, of course, the food and beverage columnist at Inside Tucson Business. Getting ready to wrap it up. Wrapping up the week here on The Buckmaster Show, which is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by our German friend, Christophan. You hear that at the beginning of the program. Thanks to Rose Brandt, my assistant, everybody here at KVOI, including engineer-producer Tom Fairbanks, and the team at Bustos Media. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe.